मुखं करोति पाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I bow down to Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, through whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our lives. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, Daivasura Sampatti Vibhaga Yoga. The division of divine and demoniac treasures. In the beginning of this chapter, Krishna mentioned 26 divine treasures. Those divine treasures protect human beings like shield from the onslaught of Maya, even tendencies, even propensities. Now Krishna is describing the demoniac natures. Among human beings, we find some are predominantly divine natures, some are predominantly demoniac natures, some are mixed. You see, in this world, you cannot expect 100% good or 100% bad. In the relative world, everything is relative. Everything is mixed. Satta nrite mithuni kritta idam jagut prasuyati. This world is a mixture of good and evil, truth and untruth, absolute good and absolute evil, cannot be found in this world. Verse 9, Itam drishtim avashtebhya nashtatmano alpabuddhayah prabhavanti ugrakarmanah kshayayo jagato ahita. Krishna says, holding such a view, these lost souls of little understanding and fierce deeds rise as the enemies of the world for its destruction. In the previous verse, verse 8, Krishna described the view, the outlook of the demoniac people in this world. They have five views. First is, this world is devoid of truth. There is no cause and effect in this world. These people believe in one birth theory. You have come in this world to enjoy. After death, you will merge into void. So, enjoy the world as much as you can. Asattam, sattani. There is no values in life, values in this world. Enjoyment is the goal. The second view, apratishtam. Apratishtam means there is no virtue or vice, dharma or adharma in this world. Survival of the fittest. If you have a strength, just loot, kill, enjoy. Rob people, get money. They don't believe the authority of the scriptures. They do not believe any teachings of the great teachers. Their teacher is different. Lokayata, Charvaka is their teacher, who speaks only nice things. The charu means beautiful. Bak means words. They eat, drink and be merry. That is their philosophy. Anishwaram. There is no God in this world. According to Hindu tradition, God is the controller of good and evil deeds. He is the dispenser of the results of actions. But these people of demoniac natures do not believe those things. They do not believe in God. They see that the people who wrote these scriptures are very motivated people. They are priests. They are hypocrites. They are shrewd people. They exploit people. There is no such thing as religion, as God. They are opiate of the people. Just as people take opium, so religion makes people intoxicated. And shrewd people cheat, exploit. They are priests. Then next view, aparaspara sambhutam. Then how can you explain this world, this creation? Just it is a union between the male and the female. Lust, sex, impulse is the guiding force. That is the way human beings, all people are created, animals are created. This is their view. Krishna says, etam drishtim avasthebhya, holding this view, these 5 points I discussed right now, holding this view. You see, asuric nature, they have demoniac outlook. Holding this view, what are they? Nashto atmanu, their atma, their self is polluted. How is it polluted? Because their soul is covered with lust, greed, anger, passion, jealousy, hatred, ego, delusion. So their soul is polluted. Of course, the Atman cannot be polluted, it is pure. But it is covered by these ravished things of Maya. Nashto Atma. Polluted soul. Confused. Krishna put another adjective. Alpa buddhi, their intellect is, understanding is very little, meager, small, puny intellect. They only see the body and nothing else. Behind the body, there are the senses. Behind the senses, there is the mind. Behind the mind, there is the intellect. Behind the intellect is the Atma. Their outlook, their sight, their eyes do not penetrate inside. It is very gross. They see only gross bodies. Very much gross people. You see, these words of the Bhagavad Gita have specific meaning and depth. We must not miss these words of Krishna. These people only understand the body, physical enjoyment and the sense enjoyment, nothing else. Alpa buddhi. So their understanding, intellect is very small, short-sighted people, dull-headed people. They're extremely body conscious. How do you know that whether you are a spiritual person or not? We test. You will find in 2 places. First place is day by day you will feel that you are unselfish. That is the first test of spirituality, that you are progressing in a spiritual life. And the second test is you will be free from body consciousness. That is the second test, that you are going towards a spiritual life. These are the 2 tests. Otherwise, spirituality cannot be weighed with pound or kilogram. It can be measured by a tape. Spirituality can be assessed through that way. Seeing your life, you can say. Next, ugra karma. Ugra karma means they are tremendously active, but all their actions are connected with destruction. They are terribly destructive forces of the world. I remember Swami Prabhupada told me a story. He went to see Swami Sadananda, a disciple of Swami Vivekananda, who was at deathbed. Prabhupada was then a college student. So the Swami was at bed and he asked Prabhupada, "Hello, young man, do you know what is the meaning of destructive? Yes. Do you know what is the meaning of constructive? Yes. All right, now you take my dictionary and just compare the meaning you know with the dictionary." So he compared. "Now, is your understanding clear what is destructive, what is constructive?" "Yes, Swami." "My boy, henceforth do everything constructive." He told him, "Henceforth do everything constructive." A demoniac people are very destructive. They are self-destructive. They are not happy to destroy themselves. They like to destroy others. But there is a saying in our language, a sinner does not like to die by himself. He wants to die with a group. "Well, I am dying, I am suffering, and you are enjoying good sleep." I had a teacher in Hollywood. She used to teach me, you know, how to speak, public speech. So she told, she was an actress. So you see some actors, you know, they're crazy. Listen, she used to get telephone call at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. "Hey, you are sleeping? I am not getting any sleep." She says, "Swami, I do not know how these people, you know, they do not sleep and they do not want others to sleep. You see. Hey, you are sleeping and I am not getting any sleep. At 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. What a disturbing element. A destructive thing. They are our asuri. Nasta atma alpa ugra karma. Ugra karma. Karma, they are great workers. What type of workers? Killing, murdering, robbing, raping. That is their work. They are tremendously active people. But they are all their actions to a, are motivated toward destruction. They get joy, otherwise why will they work? But they are, they hate the action which is enjoined by the scriptures. Don't do anything. "Oh no, that work is not for us." Christ says, if you live with soul, you will be destroyed by the soul. Those who is 11 and you will find sometimes suicidal squad, that man with some explosive hit somebody, some embassy, and they kill themselves and they kill others. Asuric people. They are human, they are people of demoniac nature. They kill themselves, they destroy themselves. You see, these two forces are working in this world, destructive and constructive. Eknath wrote a long commentary on these verses. "Life is not worth living without pleasure. This logic is relentless. When your very capacity for sensory pleasure runs out, why go on living? What does life hold?" Some years ago, I remember reading that a distinguished philosopher and his wife swallowed overdoses of sleeping pills in order to avoid the prospect of a useless old age. They are not atheists, and I was astonished to learn there is a growing faction in some churches that is taking this attitude of sinless suicide seriously. At least one prominent theologian said that knowing these circumstances, he thinks this couple did the right thing. The assumption behind all this is that life is physical. We are the body. If we do not accept this assumption, sinless suicide cannot even make sense. Old age is useless only if you are living for yourself, in which case any age could be called useless. If you live for giving, you can go on making a vital contribution to the rest of life, right up to your last day in this body. Even if you are confined to a wheelchair, you will be able to inspire, support, and strengthen many people who come in contact with you. The marvelous thing is that life generally responds to this by giving you more and more prana from which to draw. Next verse. Kamam ashritta duspuram dambamanamadanvitaha mohad grihitva asad grahan pravartante asuchi brataha. Krishna says, giving themselves up to insatiable desires, full of hypocrisy, pride, and arrogance, they hold false views through delusion and act with impure resolve. Duspuram kamam ashritta. Duspuram. Duspuram means insatiable. Kamam, desire. Ashritta, holding. Holding the insatiable desire. These people live in this world. I remember in our economic class, one of our professors of economics was telling us the characteristics of human wants. Wants are insatiable. Then he gave an example. A person drank up to this, you know, up to the tongue. His whole stomach is full of alcohol, wine, you see. And then he is telling that our Liao, he forgot his own mother tongue. Bring more. And not a single drop can go inside his mouth. Still he is seeking more. Well, this is the characteristic of human mind. Insatiable. There is a beautiful story in the Mahabharata. There was a king named Jajati. He became very old. But he had a tremendous desire for sensual life. But he was old. So he prayed to God and God gave him a boon. That if somebody could exchange his youth, you can have his youth and enjoy. So he asked his eldest son to give his youth in exchange of his old age. The eldest son said, no, Dad, I am not going to give my youth to you and take your old age. So his youngest son agreed. So the youth was exchanged with his young son. And he enjoyed 1,000 years. After enjoying 1,000 years, he declared, Na jatu kaman kamana mupabhogina saimati bhavisha krishna bartmaiva bhuyu evavi vartati. The sensual desire cannot be satisfied through desire. It can be satisfied through non-attachment. As the fire cannot be stopped by pouring clarified butter. If you pour clarified butter into the fire, the flame will come more and more. It cannot be stopped. Similarly, this desire has no end. Then Krishna says, Dambha mano madanvitaha. Dambha. Dambha means hypocrisy. Mado. Mano means vanity, and mada means euphoria. Mada means ego. Mada means pride. Mada has many meanings. Dambha, hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? If your mouth and mind are not united, that is hypocrisy. I am repeating mantra, Jesus, Ramakrishna, Ramakrishna. My mind is roaming somewhere. That is hypocrisy. To unite the mind, thought and the speech is called religion. Dambha, mana, vanity. We have so much vanity. Huh? I am learned. I am rich. I am beautiful. These are all vanity. Ego. How to ascertain ego? How do you know that you have ego or not? There is a test. Ego is censored through likes and dislikes. If you have strong likes and dislikes, that means you have terrible ego, sensitive ego. And an egotistic person, you will find this moment is happy, next moment is terribly unhappy. His fluctuation of the mind is tremendous. this moment up, next moment down, up and down, up and down. That means that person is carried by his ego. And he gets hurt all the time. The little thing will hurt that person and he will not get sleep. Little thing. That means very sensitive ego. Dambha mana madannita. Mohad grihitva. He is carried by moha. Moha means delusion. Being deluded by delusion. Swami, what is delusion? Those who are deluded, they do not feel that they are deluded. With the garbage collector, do you think he smells the garbage? He does not get the odor. His nose is seasoned. He does not get that bad odor of the garbage. You try first day, my goodness, you will feel nausea. You will feel awful. But the garbage collector does not feel it. He is accustomed. So the people, those who are deluded, they think it is natural. But the man of discrimination, man of knowledge knows whether that person is deluded or not. Hypnotized. Maya, the power of Maya, makes a person deluded. And when a person is deluded, what does he do? Grihitva asad grahan. Krishna says, they hold false views. The thing which is pure, he thinks that is impure. The thing which exists, he thinks it does not exist. God exists, he thinks God does not exist. The body is not a pure substance, he thinks that body is pure. This body is the product of food. He gets just the opposite knowledge. That is maya, ignorance. Pravartate asuchi vrata. He does all hotchpotch things in this world. Swami, what do you mean by hotchpotch things? Well, perhaps he heard that if you practice such and such austerity, you will attain such and such thing. If you repeat a mantra, you will be able to subdue women. If you want to kill your enemy, you perform such and such sacrifice. So they do all hodgepodge things in their lives because their minds are not to the right direction. They are confused. Whatever they hear from the people, they try to experiment. They don't have good discrimination. They don't have good teacher. And their values are different. Their values is physical enjoyment and sense enjoyment. That is their value. That is only they understand. How much money I can earn and how much enjoyment I can have. This is their goal. How much I shall help people, how much I can serve people, that is not their goal. Because they are very selfish people, the asuric, demoniac people. Extremely selfish. And the people of divine nature are just the opposite. There is a beautiful story in the Bhagavatam. There was a demon named Brikashura who practiced austerity many, many years. And Lord Brahma appeared before him and said, "What do you want?" No, Shiva. He meditated on Shiva and Shiva appeared before him and the demon asked, "Demon, what do you want?" "Lord, give me a boon. So on whose head I shall put my hand, that head will vanish. That head will be off from the body." So Shiva said, "All right." He forget. Shiva gave the boon. Then the demon said, "All right, let me experiment on you first." And Shiva ran away. And this demon also chased him. So Shiva ran heaven, earth, netherworld, could not get escape. This demon was following. Then Vishnu understood, the great God Krishna understood Shiva's predicament. So he came forward to rescue Shiva. he took a beautiful young form, you know, a beautiful, lovely boy. And he was telling this Brikashura, this demon, why are you running so much? Well, Shiva gave me a boon, I want to do experiment. Well, what boon did he give him? Well, he said that on whose head I shall put my hand, that head will be off. You first have some cold drink. I see you are perspiring, you are tired. And you trust Shiva. Shiva is a god of ghosts and hobgoblins who live in cremation ground. And he smokes marijuana. And you trust Shiva. Then, you know, Vishnu deluded this demon. And he said, all right, Shiva's words are true or not. Why don't you put your hand on your own head and see? So immediately put his hand on his head. He killed himself. He was finished. They are all Osho, you see, confused. Strange, confused people. Eknath wrote a commentary on this verse. The other day I saw a book on economics with an intriguing title, Greed is Not Enough. This is true of most demonic activities also. Asuric enterprises, Asuric means demoniac. Shura means God, Asura means non-God. Asuric enterprises, as we might call it, is a joint venture of two partners. Rajas, Mr. Greed, is the senior, but Tamas is also an important. His role is generally to be insensitive, but he also knows how to vacillate, postpone, prevaricate, refuse to change his mind, and simply do nothing when necessary. All of which provides Rajas with the support he needs to do his work. Rajas doesn't understand this. He likes to think of himself as independent. But if you are capable of some self-knowledge, he would see that he is utterly dependent on Tamas for support. Tamas clings to the status quo. He doesn't like to make waves, but Rajas thrives on crisis. Where times are turbulent or technology is in flux, he knows there are markets to be cornered, power to consolidate, profits to be made. In fairness, this is not simply a matter of greed. Rajas just like to keep busy. He can't possibly sit still when opportunities is knocking, even if he is already juggling more opportunities than he can handle. His style is to keep moving, even if he is not sure where he is going, while Tamas sits in back and writes memos to cover his tracks. Thoreau, I think, had a good remark to make on this subject. It is not enough if you are busy. He said, the question is, what are you busy about? This is a terribly practical question. You may remember, avivekam param apadam padam. Lack of discrimination is the source of the great danger. Lack of discrimination is the source of the greatest danger. I don't think this is exaggeration at all. If you look around, you will see that most of the dangers that threaten us today are not the result of wickedness. I would say they are the result of intelligent, educated, well-intentioned men and women running as fast as they can after what they want, never caring to slow down, look around and ask where they are going. Then Eknath gave a long commentary on nuclear weapons. I shall not read it. He said that how the nuclear weapons, they call it Rajashik bomb, is dangerous for the society, for humanity. Here he tried to show that how this type of destructive weapons are made and what is the motive behind this destruction. He connected with the Bhagavad Gita, That is his view. Demoniac nature, the destructive force of the world. Next verse. Asha pasho shatui baddha kama krodho parayanaha ihante kama bhogartham annayena artha sanchayan. I missed one verse. Chintam aparimeyam cha pralayantam upashritaha kama upabhoga parama etabad iti nishita. Verse 11 and verse 12. Krishna says, beset with innumerable cares, which will end only with death, looking on the gratification of desire as their highest goal, and feeling sure that this is all, bound by 100 ties of hope, giving up wholly to lust and wrath, they strive by unjust means to amass wealth for the satisfaction of their passions. Chintam aparimeyam. They do not think about past. They do not think about future. They are just busy with their present enjoyment. Swarga, apavarga, heaven, liberation, all these words are foreign to them. They do not care for those things. So, aparimeyam chintam, pralayantam, they are concerned only this present life, that my life, the span of life is up to my death. So, within this time, as much enjoyment I can have, that would be the fulfillment of my life. What will happen after death, I don't care. And they do not believe in reincarnation. One birth, that's it. If you have no money, borrow from the friends and enjoy. After death, you will not have to repay. That is their philosophy. Kamopohogo parama. Goal is calm. Last enjoyment, sensual enjoyment. Etabad iti nishita. This is their firm conviction. This is their view. The people of demoniac natures. Eknath wrote, in Hindu psychology, the forces of self-will are often grouped under three big categories, lust, anger and fear, all of which are closely related. These three are the source of most personal problems, for they are working away almost incessantly in the deeper regions of the mind. I have written predominantly about lust and anger for what I might call first aid reasons. These are the forces which cause the most direct damage to others, and they are rampant today. But here I would like to give due attention to fear, which this verse connects subtly to the lust for selfish satisfaction. Lust here, I should point out, is not just sexual desire. It can be any kind of fierce craving for personal satisfaction. There is lust for money, of course, and lust for any kind of pleasure. Sex is merely the most acute. Lust for power is one of the most furious of lusts. So here I will be talking about no particular passion, but simply lust in general. I sometimes see recruitment posters that say, the Marines are looking for a few good men. General lust, by contrast, is not particular about who fills his army. Any obsessive, personal, self-centered desire can qualify. The recruitment application asks only one question. Are you willing to let other people get in the way of your fulfillment? If the answer is resounding no, the desire is in. Fear is a whole world of its own within the mind. Most of us never see this world with our conscious eye, though it prompts much of our waking through the action, through waking thought and action. I think it is Carl Jung who says that in the depths of the unconscious of every human being lies the fear of death and dissolution, the fear that we may cease to exist as a separate, personal creature. This is the root of all other fears. In a sense, every human being lives in a world of fear of which he is not aware. That is our protection. If we are to become consciously aware of all the great fears that lurk in the unconscious, life would become impossible. It is a merciful amnesia that we do not remember these fears. We may not even suspect that they lurk within us, far below the threshold of consciousness. To an experienced eye, however, signs are clear. Wherever a person overacts in anger or gets agitated easily or is excessively rigid when he cannot have his way, there is a good chance that fear is pulling the strings from deep within. Almost every kind of insecurity or anxiety fits the Gita's definition of bhaya, fear. Ultimately, this is the fear of the final deprivation. Death in Sanskrit is called antaka, he who puts an end to everything. This fear is lurking in the depths of the consciousness of every human being. Written there, as Hindu and Buddhist mystics would say, over and over and over through countless lives. Death in the West has been called the great unknown. The Gita would not agree with this. You can't really fear what you don't know. Each of us does know in the depths of the unconscious what death is like, because each of us has experienced it many times. Even a tiny creature, when it dies, suffers the agony that a human being suffers. Because of this, yoga psychology maintains every attempt to grasp at some outside support, pleasure, power, prestige, positions, is prompted at the deepest level by the fear of death. On the downward path, this fear swells until it becomes obsessive. But it can be healed through meditation and the allied disciplines, and the relief from insecurity this brings is one of the great benefits of spiritual living. Asha paśo śatvai baddha kama krodho parayanaḥ ihante kama bhogartham annayena artha sanchayan. Krishna says, this I have gained today, and that longing I will fulfill. This wealth is mine. No. Bound by 100 ties of hope, giving up wholly to lust and wrath, they strive by unjust means to amass wealth for the satisfaction of their passions. Asha paśo śatvai baddha. Baddha means bound, asha means hope, paśa means bondage, cord. Shatui, 100. Asha, hope, desire. Human beings live in the world by cherishing hope, by cultivating desires. If you have no desire, what will happen? Do you know? You will be dropped dead on the floor. Desire is the preservative of human body. It is desire which keeps us going. This desire is a mysterious, a hope is a mysterious phenomenon. A dying person is hoping, I must survive. A man is, the boat is drowned, you know, is sunk into the ocean, and that man holding a straw, thinking, I shall survive. Hope. Hope is holding human beings to survive in this world. Ashar, shangshar, a world, family life, monastic life, everything, a hope is controlling everything. I shall get samadhi in my life. One day I shall see God. That is also hope. A holding this hope, we are living in this world. The Vaishnavites, they say that asha, a hope, is also a great virtue. It's a great thing. that I shall see God one day. My life will not go in vain. I shall see God. I shall realize God in my life. I shall attain samadhi. He's cherishing hope after hope. He's cultivating hope. This is good. This hope is not bad. It will lead you to the right direction. Otherwise, worldly hope is just like a house made of cards. Tasher ghar. Why would this, you know, this cards one after another, you make a house. Or if you make a dam with sand like that, it will be washed away. Very impermanent. But theory, one sage poet described vividly about hope. Hope is just like a flowing river, of which ceaseless desires constitute the waters. It rages with the waves of cravings. And the attachments for various objects are its sharks. Scheming thoughts of greed are the birds that abound on it. Aquatic birds. And it destroys in its course the big trees of patience and fortitude. It is rendered impassable by the whirlpools of ignorance and of profound depth of bed as it is. Its banks of anxious deliberation are precipitous indeed. Such a river the great yogis of pure mind pass across to enjoy supreme felicity. Asha namo nodi. Hope is a river. Desires are the waters. Rago grahavati. Attachments or the cravings, attachments are like sharks. Bitarko bihaga. Bitarko. Bitarko means planning, future. I shall do that, I shall do that. They are like birds. Seagulls, you know, like that, they're moving around. Like, follow me, follow me. Each bird is asking you, follow me, follow me. Many innumerable schemes and plans and projects. Dharjo, Druma, Dhongshini, and the swift current of that river destroys the big trees on the banks of the both rivers. Moha bartto sudustara oti gahana. Moha, the human delusions are like whirlpools of that river. Pratungo chinta tati. And the banks of that river are worries and anxieties. Tasya parogata vishuddha manaso nandati yogishvara. Who can cross that river? Only the yogis who have calm, tranquil minds. Only they cross that river. Most of the people are within that river, suffering terribly. Krishna says, Asha Pasho Shatuir Baddha. You can visualize this verse. Try to imagine, your every desire is a chain. As many desires, so many chains. How many desires do you have? You count. Put all of your desires in the computer. Remember, so many chains have bound you. So, you are a bound soul. You have no freedom. The person who is completely desireless, he is free. The less desire you are, the more happy you are. The more desires you have, the less happiness you have. A desire and happiness go side by side. desires make our minds heavy because we are bound by our desires. That Krishna says, Asha Pashu Shatui Baddha, this soul, Asurik, of demoniac nature, is tied with thousands, millions of desires, so thousands and millions of chains. Pash means cord. Pash means chain. Kama krudho parayana. Moreover, his mind is full of lust and anger. You see, lust and anger are twins. They never stay separately. Where there is lust, there is anger. The moment your lust is thwarted, desire is thwarted by somebody, immediately you become angry. They always go together. In the end of this 16th chapter, Krishna will say, Narakustura Trividam Dwaram. These are the three gates of hell. Lust, anger, and greed. These three gates will take you to destruction. Ihante kama bhogartham annayena artha sanchayan. You see, if you want to get enjoyment in this world, you need money. So these people, asuric people, demoniac people, earn money through unfair way. Cheating, robbing, stealing, mugging. You need money. Otherwise, nobody is going to give you anything. Ihante kaman bhog. If you want to get any kind of enjoyment, you need money. Param taridram annaya prabhavad vibhavaduti shinata pinata dehi pinata natu roguja. It is better to be a poor person than to become a rich through unfair way, through stealing somebody's money. You see, always remember, these two things cannot be digested, sin and mercury. If you take some mercury, it will come out all over your system. And sin, these two things cannot be hidden. It will come out. So, you may become rich by cheating people or stealing or robbing. You will be caught in the long run. Kshinata pinata, it is better to be slim than to become fat by eating a lot of food. Some people, you know, due to disease, their bodies swell. There are some kind of illness, you can say. Let people think that I look beautiful, you see. The American conception and Indian conception of beauty is different. In America, your slim body is beautiful. India, they think, you know, if you have a little fat, you are beautiful. It is true, the conception of course, too much fat also is a kind of disease, of course. So it is better to be poor and happy than to be rich and miserable. It is better to be lean and slim, you know, and with good health than a bulky body with a lot of disease. That this verse means. Yes, it is true. Annayena artha sanchayan. If you earn money through fair way, you will find there will be less disease in your family, in you, to you too also. You will get more peace and tranquility. And if you earn money through unfair way, you have some kind of guilt feeling inside. You cannot help it. You can't. And there is a saying in our language that the money which is earned in an unfair way, that money goes to the doctors and the lawyers. You will be sick. Rich people have rich diseases, you see. Their diseases also very rich. They need chiropractor, they need so many, you know, hygienists and all, my goodness. Nutritionists. I knew a very rich person in California. My goodness, whatever that person will eat, the nutritionist will decide. How much that person will walk, the doctor will decide. What a terrible bondage to me. Everything will be determined, and wherever the money will go, everything that his advisor, that person's advisors will decide. Ashava, it is baddha, that is bound life. Some people think that, you know, money will give us security. Look at the life of Shah of Iran, one of the richest person in this whole world. When he left Iran, his 707 was packed with gold and diamond and money and all these things. Went to Egypt and here, all his money did not give him security. Even 2 dozen, you know, armed guards could not give him security. Can money give security? Look, then Shah of Iran is the most secured person in this world. Tremendous army, all these things gone. Everything is gone. Think of it.